Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. Great message in that song. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 3. Acts in chapter 3 on Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of the Apostle Peter. The life of the Apostle Peter, and I trust it's been a help and a blessing to you as we've seen Peter get saved. And after he got saved and he was called to follow Jesus and then discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ the whole time that Christ had his public ministry for some 3.5 years after Peter was saved. And then, of course, Jesus went to the cross. He ascended up to heaven. And when he got to the right hand of God the Father and he's there ever to make intercession for us, he sent the Holy Spirit back to earth, and he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within believers, and this would usher in the apostolic age. The apostolic age was between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's ushering in the New Testament from the Old Testament as Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. And so the apostolic age is a very important part of Christianity, and it changed everything. It really did. During the apostolic age, things were changing as the Holy Spirit of God now would be here for the entire duration of the church age. And so that's already been some 2,000 years, and what a blessing it has been to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in believers since Christ, since 2,000 years ago. And so he come to dwell within the believers, ushers in this apostolic age. Peter will have a very important part in God's plan for the apostolic age. And that's what we're into now. That's what we're studying as we're studying the life of Peter. Now he is understanding why Jesus discipled him the way that he did and all the things that he taught him and all the things that he prepared him for. And so now he is using that which he was discipled to be able to do. And so we found last week the first apostolic miracle of healing by Peter. And what a blessing that was, that Peter had the confidence and the faith that now that God would work through him to be able to see these types of things take place during this apostolic age. And tonight we're looking at after the first miracle, the apostolic miracle, we find that Peter now will take advantage of what takes place after this miracle. And so Acts chapter 3, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be studying tonight verse 12, which is right after the miracle, the first miracle, and how it impacted the people's lives around him, this man who was healed, and what Peter does with it. Okay, well, again, we're here. Praise the Lord for it. As I look around, it's a pretty good group here tonight. And then, of course, I know that we have so many viewing from home. And we're still battling a lot of different things in our world and society and our lives. And some are getting over sickness and all the different things associated with it. But there's nothing more important than what we're getting ready to do for right now. And that is receive what God has for us from the preaching and the teaching of God's word, and how I can take this knowledge and be encouraged by it, be helped by it, and grow by it. And so focus in on the message tonight, and I believe it will be a help and a blessing to you to do so. So let's ask God just to meet with us. Well, let's first of all read the passage of scripture, and then we will pray over this passage of scripture. Okay, chapter 3, verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before hath had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath also fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. And again, we thank you for opportunities that you make available to you just for us to draw closer to you and to grow in our faith and our knowledge and understanding. I pray tonight, God, as we've assembled here on this Wednesday night, that again, that you would just help each one to sense your presence. And I pray, God, that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of your word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. And amen, you may be seated. So God had a plan for Peter, and Jesus knew exactly what that plan would be, and he prepared him through discipling him for this apostolic age. Peter's most important thing to accomplish would be to glorify Jesus Christ. That has not changed. That hadn't changed since the end of the apostolic age. Now, how we might do that and by which way we might look to, because after the apostolic age, then we had the completion of the Bible. And so there's no longer need for signs and wonders and the different things that would take place in the apostolic age. But all of what God has given to us during the apostolic age and the church age, the most important thing that we do is to glorify Jesus Christ in the face of humanity. Never lose sight of that. Glorifying Jesus. So we find here that now Peter understood that if he was going to heal this man and give him what he had truly need of it, it would come through the power and the name of Jesus. If you remember that, we looked at this a little bit back in chapter 3 and verse 6. As the man looked to them looking for alms, and Peter and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So he's letting him know ahead of time, if you're going to receive something today that's far more important than silver and gold, I have it to give you, but you have to believe in and look to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the name of Jesus. And so in doing this, Peter was exalting Jesus Christ and helping this lame man to look to him for healing so that he could glorify Jesus. And so we find here then verse 12, "And when Peter saw it." Now what did Peter see? Well, he saw the response of the people over this healing of this crippled man. In verse 11 it says, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch," they're in the temple there, in the porch of the temple, "that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." They knew a miracle had taken place. There was no doubt about this. And as the people saw this lame man walking now and holding on to Peter, they come and they were greatly wondering, and Peter saw it. And as Peter saw it, he would take this opportunity to preach Christ. I love that. Verse 13:8, he says this, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. And so he's preaching who Jesus is, the very Son of God. He's preaching that he's the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, all the Old Testament patriarchs that they look to, and the God of our fathers has glorified his Son Jesus. And Peter's preaching that. God did this to glorify his Son. That it would get the attention of humanity. And it's got the attention of humanity, what Jesus would have, what God would have done in the name of Jesus, then Peter was there to reveal it. He was there to preach Christ. God opens doors of opportunities to us all the time. Whether we see it as an opportunity and whether we take advantage of it as an opportunity to glorify Jesus, that's what's in question. When you come into a situation with somebody and they're wondering about the Bible or they're wondering about what's taking place on the earth, or is this some prophecy or is this going on or that going on, and you have opportunity because they are wondering what's taking place. And sometimes it's a miracle and other times it's a disaster, but you have the opportunity because you're there to glorify Jesus by preaching Jesus and helping people to see that Jesus is still on the throne. And so when Peter saw the opportunity that was provided by the way of this man's healing, he would take this opportunity, take advantage of this opportunity. He'd address them and preach Christ. You see, in verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us?" Now, Peter was wise in what he saw. He realized that they saw this man healed and they knew that the miracle had taken place. And as this miracle had taken place, this man had his arms wrapped around Peter because Peter was the instrument that God worked through to be able to bring to him a healing. And the people didn't understand all of it. They just saw this man healed and this man hanging on to Peter. And Peter realized that they're thinking that I healed him in my power. They're thinking for somehow, some way, because of who we are, that we was able to heal this man because of our holiness, because of our position. And Peter could have very easily have stolen the honor that God had for Christ to be glorified. And Peter could have taken it himself. Can I tell you, that's always been a danger when it comes to the pride of man. When people want to elevate you, when they want to build you up, and they want you to think more highly of yourself, thinking that you have power to do such things, the pride says, "Wow, I want that. I want to be looked at as something or someone that's special, that's able to do certain things." And that's the pride that's within all of us that we have to battle as we serve God and we experience God working through us. If you're going to continue to have that, then you need to learn to give God the glory. Yeah. Peter didn't want the glory. He didn't want to elevate himself. Why would he not want that? Because more important than trying to receive the glory of what had happened was his service to Christ. And serving Jesus Christ is to glorify him and not self. He It said it wasn't done. They looked on us earnestly, looking on us through by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. He knew what they were thinking. He knew what was taking place. And then he said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate. We'll get to that in just a minute again. We are to serve Christ. As we serve him, something takes place. As we serve Jesus Christ and glorify him, then God honors us. There's nothing more important for the believer in this life than pleasing God. Because as we please God, then we have God's blessings. We have God's honor. Now that's not just reserved for pastors, and that's not just not reserved for those in full-time ministry. That is available to any born-again believer who has a desire to glorify the Son, and we glorify the Son through serving him. As we serve him, we do his bidding. He doesn't do our bidding. We do his bidding. As we serve him, we exalt him. We lift him up before men. That's what God wants us to do. Can I tell you what was established by Peter in the apostolic age is exactly what God wanted and continues to want throughout this New Testament church age. For all true believers to serve Jesus, and if you're serving Jesus, then you are exalting and glorifying him. Look with me, if you will, over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Too often we think it's about us. And we want to steal some of the glory. And can I tell you, that's just a pride. That's all of us. We have to die to self. We have to die to self-pride. We have to die to wanting men's applause. And the way that we are able to overcoming wanting the praise of men is to realize I would rather have the praise of God than the praise of men. Can I tell you what's taking place in a lot of religion today? You have individuals and even denominations that want the people to glorify them. They want the people to glorify the denomination or the positions in the denomination. And they lose sight of what's most important is not the praise of men, but the praise of God and doing it God's way so that we can glorify Jesus Christ. So here in John chapter 12 and verse 26, Jesus teaching the disciples, he says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So bring it home, if you will. As I serve Christ and give him the glory over everything, point everybody to him and not try to take some of it myself. As I am living to serve and to glorify him, then God the Father honors me. And to have the honor of a creator God, to have the favor, and that's what that honor is favor. It's favor with God. Isn't that worth more than the favor of men? Yeah, it is. It truly is. Matthew chapter 6. I love this. Let me just read this to you. Matthew chapter 6. Again, in Jesus' teaching, he is discipling Peter. And now we find that Peter is putting into practice what he had been discipled to do. And Matthew 6, 2, it says this, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, a lot of hypocrites in religion, and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. We're not in ministry, and we're not saved to find the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They have it in having the glory of men. And we have to ask ourselves, would I rather have the glory of men or the glory of God? I find myself in favor with men, or would I rather be in favor with God? Especially when it comes to the ministry, we had better get it nailed down. I am to serve Jesus Christ and to glorify Him and not take any of it on myself. No matter what God is able to do through me, it is not so that I would be glorified. Throughout the years, I've had several situations. It's just a common thing because of what God is able to do through the preaching and then through the opportunity I've been given to lead people to the Lord. And, you know, early on, I remember some of them, they would introduce me as the man that he saved me. This is my pastor. He saved me. And I've got to stop. Whoa. No, I didn't save you. I can't save anybody. I was able to lead you to Christ who saved you. I'm just an instrument. I can't do that. And or whether it's been a message I preach and somebody says, preacher, I just wanted to thank you. What a powerful message and what a powerful illustration. And it just, no, it's not of me. God gave me that. As I was preparing to preach and I was seeking the will of God, He brings things to mind. He brings illustrations to mind. He brings situations to mind. He brings scriptures to mind. And He works in me before I ever am able to preach it. He knows who's going to be here. He knows how that illustration is going to impact the lives of those that are hearing the message that is being preached. It's not me. But I am thankful that God is working through me and that I can have the favor of God by allowing God to work through me. But don't ever give me the glory. You'll hear me say it all the time, praise the Lord. Don't praise me, praise the Lord. Because He did it. Now, He might have worked through this individual and that individual, but He's the one that gets the glory. Yeah. If you're going to continue to have God work through you, give God the glory. Yeah. Which is far better than the honor of men or the favor of men. Go back with me to our text here tonight in Acts chapter 3. Peter addresses the evil decisions of the crowd. Now, Peter knows the crowd. And he knows that he is preaching to the crowd. He knows who he's preaching to. It's one of the first things you learn in the ministry is know your audience. Know who you're preaching to. I'm not going to preach the same message I preach in our morning worship service that I would preach to a first grade class. Or in a men's conference, basically. Or in a youth conference. You have to know who it is that you're preaching to and then ask God to use you to identify with that, whatever that crowd might be. Peter understood the crowd that had been impacted by the miracle of this lame man. Peter wanted to, first of all, give the glory to God. But now he addresses the crowd. And he addresses the crowd in verse 13, that second half of this, when he says, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. He looked at them and said, you're all a bunch of murderers. You're all a bunch of ignorant fools. And you'll see that in just a minute. Now, sometimes you can get a little too harsh. But you got to preach what God wants you to preach. And sometimes you got to get the attention of the people by saying exactly what God would have you to say. You see, we all need to be made aware of our sin. Unless you're under biblical preaching, you might never be made aware of your sin. Most religious services today, they're not preaching the Bible. They're not looking for the favor of God in serving Christ and preaching Christ. They're looking for the favor of men and presenting to men what they want to hear. We need the preaching of the Word of God, because the preaching of the Word of God is what will convict us of our sin. I've had many leave the church and say, "How did you know that? I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't know anything. I just preached the Word." And yet they were convicted, and I've had many lost men leave here with their wives thinking that she's been telling you everything about me, hadn't she? There's no way you could have known that. I had never been here before. I come here wondering, no way you could have known that. You were preaching to me, and it's because you've been talking to my wife. Because it's real. It's not fake. Spiritual warfare is real. God is real. The preaching of the Word of God, it's God's design for the New Testament church age. It's through the preaching of the Word of God to the world, to the lost world. It's foolishness. But it's the power of God to everyone who knows of God and knows of the Bible and knows that God has ordained the preaching of His Word. We just have to be faithful to preach it. Not be afraid to name sin. Because if you don't name sin, then that person will not be convicted of that sin. Biblical preaching is what Paul was doing, or Peter was doing here. He told them exactly what they had done. They did not want to hear that, but it was truth, and it brought conviction into their life. He said that whom ye delivered up and denied him. The person who's responsible for this miracle is the very Son of God. And the one who performed this miracle that brought healing to this man is the one that you denied. In the presence of Pilate, who was trying to get them to release him. Matthew chapter 27. Look there with me. Because this is what he's referring to. This is what took place in the life of Christ leading up to the apostolic age. Even with Pilate, a lost man, he could see that Jesus had not done what they accused him of. He could tell in talking to Jesus that he was not a murderer. He could tell that in talking to Jesus that he was a special man. It's something different about him. And that I believe he was under conviction and was that close of receiving Christ himself as his own personal Lord and Savior. Matthew chapter 27, look at verse 19. He was set down in the judgment seat. His wife, Pilate's wife, sent unto him saying, "Have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." I believe that he went home, talked to his wife about Jesus and the conversations they had. And I think that both of them possibly were ready to believe in Jesus Christ and get saved. To the place that she said, "Don't have anything to do with anything negative about this man. He's a just man." But the chief priests and elders, the religious leaders, Pilate, a lost man, the religious leaders, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and to destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith, and this is the same crowd that Peter is now preaching to in the apostolic age. Same people, same crowd. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Isn't that your Messiah? Isn't Jesus the King of the Jews? Isn't he the Messiah? Because Pilate was starting to believe him to be the Messiah. And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. Now they're all remembering this. They would not have wanted to remember that. They would not want to be convicted of this. This is something that they probably look back on and said, I got to block that out. I can't go back there. I can't think about ever doing that. Especially when they come to find out it was Jesus whom healed this lame man. It was Jesus who is the true Messiah. It is Jesus who is the very Son of God. They don't want to think about this, but this is exactly what Peter is bringing back to their minds, what they did. Conviction of their sin. And Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather atonement was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people, the same crowd, and said, his blood be on us and our children. Not even realizing what they were saying. Now go back with that. That's what Peter's reminding them of. That's what when he's preaching Jesus, he's presenting to them, and the conviction of God is all over them at this point. Pilate knew. The crowd rejected Jesus, and he says, in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Verse 14. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed. Now they're being, this is what they did. And now the conviction is all over them. And killed the Prince of Life, the one who created life, the one who gave you life, the creator of all things, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now, when you go back to Matthew chapter 27, and you see what Peter is reminding them of, a couple things to be aware of. They were fueled by others. The religious leaders of the day had taken the people, the common people, and turned them against Jesus. Now, they had been with him. They had seen him perform miracles. They had seen all the things that he had done. Now they have Pilate a lost man trying to get them to see that this man is not who you think he is. This has got to be the very Messiah. But they were listening to and being fueled by others. Wow, you know, that's humanity. Most of the time, the crowds are being fueled by others to do wicked things. But even though they were being fueled by others and they were doing it as a crowd, and can I tell you, when you get in a crowd, you're more apt to do things that you would not do individually. Well, we're seeing this all around the country right now. A lot of these people are good people, but they get in a crowd and all it takes is one or two to motivate certain things, and then they become a mob. And they start doing things like crying to crucify him. That's human nature. It really is. It's just, this is nothing new. They were being fueled by others, but they were still individual choices being made. Just because you was in a crowd was no excuse, because there's still individual choices, individual accountability being made. What Peter is trying to get this crowd to understand now is stop listening to man and start listening to God. If you would have not allowed others to influence you and fueling you to do what you did and crying for Jesus to be crucified, you would have remembered what he did when you were with him. You would remember what this governor was trying to get you to understand. Pilate was trying to get them to understand. He's not who you say thinking that he is. He doesn't deserve what you think he deserves. And if you would have just listened to God, you would have seen him. You would have understood him to be the Messiah. As did Pilate. Stop listening to men. Start listening to God. They chose a murderer over Jesus. Can you imagine? After they got saved, I believe a lot of these get saved, they would look back and think, how could I have ever done that? I can't believe that I was part of those out there crying out, crucify him. I even went against a lost man encouraging me to listen to it. I cried out, crucify him. As we look back over our lives, have you done things that today you don't want to think about? You don't want to bring back to your mind, but it's there. And you think, how could I have done that? It was me. They're under conviction and they're thinking, yeah, I did. I was one of them that cried out, crucify him. How did that happen? Evil influences are everywhere. Don't get caught up in getting the wrong crowd. You'll wind up doing things that you'll regret. Don't get caught up in being influenced by evil people. Sometimes it's not a crowd. Sometimes it's just a person who wants to involve you in evil activity. If you're not listening to God and you start listening to evil influences, you're apt to do just what they did. Maybe it's just being a confused individual. Teenagers a lot of time go through a lot of different things. And just searching for somebody that makes sense. Look to God. And as you look to God, he'll make sense. It's reality. It's truth. So Peter brings them back in verse 7, he says this, or verse 16. After he gets them convicted of their sin, and his name, Jesus' name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. You were all confused. You did this, and you did this because of the evil influences and being in the crowd. You got messed up in the crowd you were in, and you got carried away with what you were doing. But come back to this man today that has brought you to this place in your life, and you're under the conviction of God right now because of what I've preached and what you've revealed. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Made him, he healed him, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. God brought this about to get you to acknowledge your sin and turn to faith in Christ. I love it, man. A great message that Peter's preaching right now. What illustrations that he's using and bringing about for the people to have. And then he says this, and the last of what I have for you tonight is listen to the truth. Verse 16 to 19, listen to the truth. And verse 17, or the truth of this man's healing, first of all, is in the name of Jesus, through faith in his name. Verse 17, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. Look back. You don't want to think about it. You don't want to go back and get to those memories again. But did that have a part to play in it? Ignorance? Ignorance is the lack of knowledge. If you had the knowledge of God that you have now, could you ever see yourself doing that? Then you could say, ignorance had a part to playing in it. You might have been religious, but it didn't understand the truths of the Bible. And so you were listening to religion even. You were following a crowd. And some of this took place. Through ignorance you did it. As did also your rulers. Ignorance, lack of knowledge, lack of education, lack of awareness. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. But now we have the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Which is going to convict us. Who's going to make us aware of if you're saved. Ignorance is not an excuse, but it's a reason. I think I committed a lot of things partly because of ignorance. And once I seen myself and I understood that if I had the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, if I had the knowledge of the things that I had in a later part in my Christian life, if I'd had that as a teenager, I would not have done some of the things that I did. I truly believe that. God used that in my life to get me to want to help other teenagers realize the things that I did not know. Even though I was saved, I did not understand. And I surrendered my life for that reason. Yeah. It's not an excuse, but it is a reason. Even Paul would say that. We'll not have to turn there because of time, but 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said that he did what he did out of ignorance, but that didn't mean that he was still not the chief of sinners. Ignorance does not take away your accountability. Ignorance does not take away your sin condition. Paul says, yeah, I did it out of ignorance, but I'm still the chiefest of sinners. Because it's not an excuse. Ignorance is not an excuse. It's just a reason why it happened. I don't want to be ignorant any longer. I don't want to be uneducated. I don't want to be unaware of things in my life. Verse 18, it says, he says, even though you did it out of ignorance, know this, might help you just a little bit. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Not an excuse, but this was prophecy being fulfilled. Even though you were part of it, God is not going to give you an excuse here, but also know it was prophesied that this would take place. God allowed it. I look back over my life. Sometimes it's good to know, no excuse, that God allowed it. If God allowed it, there was something that he wanted me to learn from it. We just need to make sure we learn from all of our experiences of life, good and bad. So that's what he's telling them there. Then he ends here with this truth. This is what you need to do with this truth. Repent ye therefore. Now that you have all this, you have the conviction, you have all this, what a message. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Don't make the same mistakes over and over. God allowed us so that you could acknowledge what you've done and repent of what you've done and be converted from being antichrist to a Christian. And that's what it was. Even though they were religious, they were antichrist in that they cried out that Christ be crucified. Be converted. Turn from being anti whatever the Bible teaches to being Christ-like in everything, in every area of life. Yeah. What a great message that Peter preached after the healing of the lame man. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Great message from the Apostle Peter and how we can apply it to our lives today. Because same situations and circumstances, and my goodness. Let's continue to do what God has us here to do as Christians. Glorify Christ. Exalt him. Preach Christ as often as you have opportunities to preach. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, that you'd help us now to apply this to our own lives. I pray, God, that you would help us if we need to make decisions. Those here in this auditorium or those who have been watching via the live stream, God, I pray that you have spoken to each one. And God, right now, an invitation, if they need to make a decision, help them to know exactly what decision you'd have them to make. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.